Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you here on this Friday morning, May 14th. Hey, it's my brother-in-law's birthday today. Happy birthday to you. So it is good to be with you for Psalm 40 this morning. Last time, Wednesday, we were in Psalm 39, which is a very deep and powerful lament. It's one of only two psalms that really end on a sad note, that don't bring us back to a joyful note of praise by the end. And it's time to be joyful. So we have Baby Yoda in hand for some joy this morning. Because at the time I said that it's very intentional in God's providence that Psalm 40 follows Psalm 39. The arrangement of the psalms is supervised by the providence of God, arranged divinely for our instruction and edification. And so Psalm 40 follows Psalm 39, just as Psalm 89 follows Psalm 88. So, as I said, if you're ever in those psalms, you get to the end of Psalm 39 and you get this sad note. I mean, you can linger there because we need to lament. We need to lament before the Lord. But if you also want to read on to Psalm 40, that's okay too, because God put it there for a reason. So let's pray and then we'll dig in to this wonderful psalm together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us another day of life. Thank you for just blessing us in so many ways each and every day. You are faithful to us. And in Christ Jesus, you have delivered us from sin and death. You have raised us up from condemnation. You have justified us before your eyes. You have made us to sit with you as your children in your family, as part of your household. And so we pray that you would speak to us this morning through Psalm 40. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 40 is written to the choir master, and it is a Psalm of David. It's beautiful, beautiful spring weather, but I get these allergies, so you'll have to pardon my coughing and clearing my throat. I'll try to keep up with the coffee to help keep it under control. But Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of your book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, O Lord, I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy. but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Psalm 40. What a wonderful, powerful psalm. We looked at Psalm 39 last time, and we saw that it was a lament, a deep lament, over being surrounded by wicked people who are out to destroy you, but also being weighed down by the burden, the heaviness, the curse of sin, and actually being struck by the Lord's hand because of sin. And we said that while that was true in David's own life, perhaps when he was fleeing from Absalom, was a situation where he was partly responsible for what was happening to him, and he was convicted by his sin of neglect and favoritism within his family and within the nation. But it was ultimately about Christ. Not that Christ was a sinner himself, but that he was made sin for us, and that he was crucified, crushed, and received the wrath of God in our place because of the sin that was laid upon him. And that through Christ, we can sing that psalm as those who are in Christ when we are surrounded by our enemies who attack us, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and when we feel overwhelmed by sin. So that's the pattern in the Psalms. You go from David to Christ, you see the true fulfillment is really in Christ, and then you come to us. Well, we know that Christ is the true fulfillment of Psalm 40. Well, he is for all of the Psalms, but we have, for several of them, we have the rock-solid evidential foundation that they're quoted in the New Testament and assigned to Christ. And Psalm 40 is quoted a couple of different places in the book of Hebrews. And this part here is quoted in Hebrews as being about Christ coming into the world. When he comes into the world, he says, Hebrews 8, I believe, says, "Burnt offering and sin offering you've not required. Then I said, behold, I've come. In the scroll of your book, in the scroll of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart." So Christ was coming to fulfill what the burnt offerings and sin offerings could not ever do. So Christ did not come bringing a burnt offering or a sin offering, but he came as the willing and obedient servant of the Lord. That's the giving him an open ear, is that he's the willing and obedient servant of the Lord. And he actually comes to be the offering for our guilt and for our sin. And so this next part is also quoted in Hebrews. I've told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. I've not restrained my lips. And so we can see this. I would say that Psalm 40 is what I would call an anticipatory celebration of the resurrection. Because in Psalm 40 itself, we still have this language in verses 10 through 12 of, "Evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me. I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head." And again, these are not Jesus' own sins, of course, but they're the sins that are laid on him and are charged to his account. They've become his. They became his on the cross. And so, and can you imagine all of the sins of all of God's people for all of time? I know just my sins are beyond number, beyond my understanding, but they are overwhelming. And yet on the cross, as he's paying for our sin, he is also looking forward by faith and knowing that he will be raised from the dead. This is a resurrection song. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction." That's the grave. "Out of the miry bog of death and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." And for us, it's a song that we can sing to celebrate our resurrection in Christ, as God has brought us out of sin and death and judgment and condemnation, and he's brought us to stand upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's made our steps secure. So because Christ has sung and lived Psalm 40, we who are in Christ, we who belong to Christ, can sing and live Psalm 40 in him. "Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." I'm reading a wonderful book, by the way, right now called Rejoice and Tremble by Michael Reeves about the good fear of the Lord. that causes us to trust in him, to draw near to him. And it's giving me this eye for seeing how the Bible uses the expression of the fear of the Lord. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a good sort of meaty but not super thick theological devotional book, Rejoice and Tremble by Michael Reeves. Just a little, it's what God's using to bless me right now. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn such to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Just think about that for a minute. Meditate on that particular verse for just a moment. God has multiplied his wondrous deeds and his loving, redeeming, fatherly thoughts toward us. None can compare with him. So how should we respond to that? We should proclaim and tell of them, even though they're more than can be told. Can you ever tell of all that the Lord has done for you? Can you ever tell of all the ways that the Lord loves you, has loved you, is loving you, will love you, has saved you, is saving you, will save you, has blessed you, is blessing you, will bless you? Could you ever tell of all of the many different ways that he's multiplied his wondrous deeds and his thoughts toward us? No, we could never tell them all. And yet we must proclaim and tell them that he has been good to us. He has saved us. He's delivered us. He's forgiven us. He's adopted us. He's secured us. He's blessed us. He keeps us. He guides us. He loves us. He upholds us. He strengthens us. We must tell of the good deeds and thoughts of the Lord toward us, even though they are more than can be told. And here again is Christ speaking most prominently that... Sorry, my mute button's not working great. Whew, allergies. I do take allergy medicine every day. But I apologize. I know that's not a pleasant sound. But not only is this Christ, it's us as well, right? And I think of Romans 12. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship, right? This is the call on our lives to walk in the feet of Christ and say, it's not what I give to God. God's not looking for something from me. How much money do I put in the offering plate, or do I give to the church, or how much time do I dedicate to missions? It's my heart. It's myself. It's my me. God wants me. God wants you. And so we come to him willing to serve and to obey. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. This is a call to be gospel proclaimers. And of course, the first gospel proclaimer was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he spoke to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and then when he appeared to the 11 disciples in the upper room, and he showed them his scars, and he broke bread with them, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus is the first gospel proclaimer, but then he calls us to go out and to proclaim the gospel. And notice that the gospel is focused largely here on the character of God. The character of God revealed in Jesus Christ for our salvation is the heart of the gospel. I've not hidden your deliverance within my heart. That's what God has done to deliver us. He's delivered us from sin and death and condemnation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We cannot hide that good news of deliverance within our hearts, but we also speak of the character of God, his steadfast love, his salvation, his faithfulness, his salvation, his steadfast love. That trio shows up again and again in the Psalms. God's faithfulness, his never-changing, never-wavering, never-failing, steadfast commitment to keep all of his promises, his salvation, his Yeshua, his deliverance, Jesus Christ, his steadfast love, his chesed, his covenant loyal love for his own. So it is with affection and with power and with steadfastness that God delivers and saves and keeps his people. And we must tell that good news. That's why we gather. We gather on Sunday morning for worship, as I hope you'll join us this Sunday morning for worship. Looks like beautiful weather in the forecast. And I hope you'll join us so that we can tell the good news to each other and be encouraged and then go out and tell that good news to the world. Well, we're just about out of time. Those who oppose God, those who oppose God's people, will in the end be judged because they will not succeed. We have God's promise on that. Those who sought to take the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who sought to snatch away his life, were turned back and brought to dishonor. They were judged. How is Pontius Pilate remembered in history? How is Caiaphas, the high priest, remembered in history? How is the Jewish Sanhedrin remembered in history? They are the ones who are put to shame because they sought to take the life of the sinless Son of God. And so those who harass us, the devil and death and the world, will be condemned and put to shame on that great judgment day. But may all who seek you, O Lord, rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation, may those who love your Yeshua, may those who love your Jesus say continually, great is the Lord. As for me, I am poor and needy. I've got nothing. I'm not going to tell the world how great I am. Sometimes people want to speak about my faith. Let me tell you about my faith and how my faith has been an anchor for me and how my faith has been a guide for me. I don't want to tell you about my faith. I want to tell you about the faithful one. I want to tell you about the one in whom I place my faith. Great is the Lord. He takes thought of me, though I am poor and needy, though I am nothing, though I am weak and unfaithful, though I am wavering and fallible. He takes thought of me. Oh, you are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. And you see that anticipatory, just as Jesus could sing this psalm in praise, anticipating resurrection. We, in this fallen world, as we continue to struggle with sin, can sing this song. And one of the things we do on Lord's Day mornings when we gather together is we anticipate the day of the Lord when he will come and make all of this finally and fully and eternally and perfectly true for us. Amen. That day is coming. So come out and worship with us on Sunday morning so that we can celebrate and sing and tell and hear and then go and tell and sing and celebrate to the world the good news of the deliverance of our King. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you have delivered us by your hand and for your glory. You have multiplied. You have abundantly multiplied your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. And so we say, great is the salvation of our God. Great is the Lord. May that be the song of our hearts today. May that be the message on our lips today. May that be the orientation of our lives today. That we will not hold back, but we will proclaim to ourselves, we will proclaim to the church, we will proclaim to the world the great deeds and the wonderful character of our salvation and our God. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I love Psalm 40. Well, we are going to be continuing with Psalms in the morning for several more weeks. I thought we had covered them all, but then I forgot the fact that I had preached through the songs of Asaph this past summer while I was also doing Psalms devotionals. I skipped over the songs of Asaph in the devotionals because I was preaching them, and I thought, well, we'll get full sermons on them. We don't need to have little devotionals on them. But I want to have a complete set of these devotionals as available, you know, for whenever you're reading through the Psalms. And so we are going to continue on with Psalms in the morning for several more weeks, until we have truly covered all of the Psalms in our morning Psalms devotionals time together. I hope that you'll continue to join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 8:30, and I hope you'll join us for worship this Lord's Day morning at 10 o'clock out at the 4-H camp in the Rock State Park area. We meet under the Sharon Pavilion and this beautiful giant sycamore tree. It's a wonderful place to worship God in the beauty of his creation. It's supposed to be about 65 degrees and no rain. It's supposed to be perfect weather this Sunday. So look forward to seeing you then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.